Thank you. Let's all sing together. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Appreciate you coming out this morning. It's a little humid, but after all, we didn't mean to insult the people who live up north last week. We're glad the visitors have gone. Right. Tomorrow I'm going out and turn left 100 times. Right. That was all summer. You don't get to turn left. But they bring the money, and that helps, doesn't it, Freddie?
And I got my sermon this morning from the book of John. John 8 at, 31 is where we'll start in just a minute after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. That's what you said to preach. The instructions were given to preach the word. The church isn't a social place. It's not a place to come and just get your ears massaged and feel good about yourself and how wonderful you are. That'll build a big crowd, but it won't get many people to heaven. And we thank you that we just preach the Bible as it reads, and we try to expound the scripture as it is given to us by you. And we thank you this morning that we can take your word and deliver it as if it were you speaking. I make no attempt to be you. There's no doubt there. However, you have called preachers who preach the Bible to go into underworld and preach the good news to people. And you've told us it's getting late. And if it's getting late and you're about to come, we want to reach as many people as we can with the story of the gospel, the story of salvation, to help people not go to hell. Be with us as we have our service. Be with those who have miles to drive when they leave here. We pray that you be with those here who have sicknesses. They don't make mention of them. We have people here with cancer problems, and we have people with other problems in their bodies. And we would just ask that you would touch them and that your will be done in every case. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and most of all, your Son. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we're starting at verse 31, and we'll go through as far as we can this morning. Not that's within the time limit, not far as we can, because we went as far as we could, we'd be here till tomorrow. And I've got good folks from New Jersey back here. Do you know how early you have to get up to get here by 9 o'clock if you live in New Jersey? They bought him a home down here. I told him, just get ready to slow down. We are not in a hurry. Only difference between here and Maine is we're slower. Don't mistake that for slowness of thought. It's slowness of body. See, we are in the South called slow because of the heat. That's where it came from. You try walking in the summer in our heat, or Alabama, Mississippi, that area, Florida. You'll change clothes 3 times if you do it quickly. Down here, we ease on down to the doctor's office, then we ease on down to Walmart, and ease on down. We take it easy. We like it that way. And we have biblical grounds for that, for salvation is eternal. We got all the time, not only in the world, but out of it, when time is no more. What a wonderful thought. I hope y'all think like I do on some things. And I get accused of being a lot of things. But we preach pretty good, because we'll tell you what is and hidden. And if you listen carefully, you'll learn something. I don't care who you are. Don't care what your degrees are. Don't care what your intellect is. If you listen carefully, there'll be something in every message for you. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way with people who stick to the Word of God. Okay. So verse 31, Jesus is talking to the Jews. They're hot about it. These are the conditions for believing and abiding in Christ. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Please understand that when he preached, Jesus was a Jew, and he went to the synagogue, and he preached in the synagogue. Back then, they would pretty well let anybody speak their piece and go in. They'd be glad to argue with you. We love the Jewish people, because God said to. And someone once said, if you get 3 Jews together, you'll have 4 opinions on a subject. And and that's true. Love to banter about things. Love to discuss things. And they did back then. And you could go in the synagogue and state your case. They'd be glad to hear you, but you're not going to talk and run. They're going to keep you there, and we're going to discuss this. And they'd be quick to tell you, as they do in some of these verses, we will hear you again. We'll be back. Let's discuss this further. And that's a wonderful thing. So Jesus is talking to the Jews which had believed on him, that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, to continue in my word, of course, means to continue in your study of the scriptures. The Bible is what we refer to as the revealed word of God. The Bible is exactly what Jesus would tell you if he was sitting next to you today. He would tell you what he revealed to be written in the Bible, so you would know why he came, who he was, what he was doing here, why he died, why he resurrected, and why he's coming again. And you would understand that. Jack and I talk about various subjects in theology, and Jack is a brilliant person, and we laughed the other day because I was on one side of something and he was on the other. And I couldn't have that, so I knew he was home looking to defeat me on that purpose. And, of course, I was studying to defeat him. And finally I called. I said, Jack, bad news. He said, what? I said, we're both wrong. And you find that out as you read and go and learn more. And God's so good about giving you the ability to read, write, and to understand and to know his word, that the Bible has remained the best-selling book in the world for so many years, they're uncountable. So we are glad. Here he is saying 2,000 years ago to the Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You see, a lot of folks think that getting saved is finding a church, which is a good thing. I'm glad they went and they heard the message, and the preacher gave an invitation, which is very rare these days, and they came to know Christ, and then they didn't know what to do. And they didn't move an inch from that day in the Word of God. It is very sad that every church is not a seminary. This is where you ought to learn what God said, how to read His book, how to expound it, and how to give sermonettes to people you talk to, because you learned it from the Word of God. And I laughed. Ann said, Frankie called, and Granny died Beaver. And I said, well, she's with the Lord. She was 94. And she said, Frankie held the funeral. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, bless his little heart. She said, yeah, he told them outright, I don't see a lot of you young people here and you relatives coming to Granny's funeral. Tell them we missed them. No use to visit them at the funeral. Where were you when she was alive for 94 years? He tells them, said, look, understand what we're doing today, because this is going to happen to you one day. I said, Frankie listens good, doesn't he? I know where Frankie heard that and didn't mind saying it at a funeral. I was asked to do a funeral the other week, and I didn't know a man well, just knew him to say hey and beach buddy, you know. And he was from way, way up north, up in Maine, a very successful man, and he'd come to church here over the last year or two, and he passed away and had a funeral, and his family called. I asked if I would hold the funeral, and I said, I sure will, be glad to. And so we did that, but I noticed they weren't understanding a whole lot of what I was saying. You can tell when you do this, as long as I've done it, what your audience is doing. If all of them are asleep, there's something wrong. And you can tell if people are paying attention or not. They'll close their mouth and bring their arms in, you know. And I noticed there wasn't too many people, because when I hold a funeral, I hold an evangelistic funeral. I am an evangelist. I spread the gospel. If you invite me to speak, I will preach the gospel. If you don't believe that, ask the people here before we had a church here. Ask the people at Ducks. Ask the people at Fat Harold's. You think, well, does that do any good? A week before he died, Fat Harold accepted Christ. I guess it does. But we find out here the statement of Jesus, not somebody, says, if is conditional. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That is no more than an order to study your Bible. Don't care if you do it paragraph by paragraph, book by book, but read it. If you want some good news when you're feeling bad, read the Psalms. I mean, absolutely wonderful to read them, see what's going on, what's going to happen, and you're part of it. And it'll just cheer you up. I wouldn't read Ecclesiastes when I'm sad, but you can read the Psalms. So if you aren't continuing in the Word, and that means to come to church, means to go to Bible study, it means to talk in your daily conversation to the point that people will call you a Jesus freak. That's a wonderful title. I love to have that said about me because I will speak my mind and will ask you in a minute, yes, I am a Jesus freak. Do you know Jesus? And you won't believe the babbling that comes out of people's mouths. Well, when I was little, we went to the Methodist church every day, and I said, don't do that to me. You lost as a billy goat going to hell, and you're over 60 years old, and you're not even doing nothing about it. What's the matter with you? There's something wrong with you. They don't like that. I don't have a bunch of friends. I guess you already figured that out. We can hold a party of all our friends in a telephone booth. See? And you shall know the truth. Jesus talking. And the truth shall make you free. Now the philosophers, Jack studies philosophy, and he was a psychology major, And now he's here to drive me crazy. So the philosophers now, way up the philosophical totem pole, say there is no truth. No such thing as truth. Well, the truth Jesus is talking about here, the truth shall make you free, is that you are enslaved by sin, and the truth is you're going to hell if you don't accept me as Savior. Now, that's not politically correct. Doesn't matter. Might put a sign up out there, not political correct and intolerant of false doctrine. We need that, but the word's already out. You see, the truth is what? The truth isn't a statement. The truth is somebody. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't have Christ and you don't know what he wants you to do and how to do it and what he expects of you, how do you expect to get anywhere? Brother Green runs a golf shop down here, and I laughed. I told him, I was so glad to see him. I said, I went by to get a club the other day. I went to get a chipper, you know, when you're not quite on the green and you're in the rough. You need something that'll bounce that ball over the rough part and land and roll. And I couldn't find one in my clubs. And I saw people on TV had the same clubs I did, and they could find it. And I finally found out in my stupidity that the truth was, it wasn't the club. It was the other end that needed some help. So I found out when I got home, I got what could be a chipper and practiced in the front yard there. And I can do that very well now. I can make it jump out that 3 feet or 10 feet or whatever you want, looking smooth. It wasn't the club. It was the holder of the club. And people spend thousands of dollars. I saw, was walking through the golf shop down here where the PGA and that big one down there, and walking through, and they got clubs for sale, you know, and you can hit them and try them out. And I picked one up, and I looked at it, and I said, boy, that does feel good. I bet you could do something with that. And I wouldn't mind having one like that till I got to the price tag. $1,000 for one club. And that's, I said, that's not a bad price if you want a PGA, like Dustin from college out here, and he's made millions of dollars already. If you're in that group, that's okay. That's an investment in your business. But if you're shooting 114 and lying about that, telling people you're shooting 100, you don't need a $1,000 club. Yeah, you need a $39.95 used club from Brother Green and invest the rest in some lessons. Because the head that's having trouble is not the one on the end of the club. It's this one. This is what's wrong with Christianity. People don't want to know what Jesus said. People don't want to know what the Bible said. We've fallen into the gap now, where most colleges don't even teach religion anymore. The head of the religion department, and you beautiful ladies who came from Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, we love Sylvia Hatchell, and a fine Christian woman. But the head, now he's been replaced, but he's been replaced by somebody thought just like him. He was the head of the philosophy department. Now, if you really want to get confused about religion, study philosophy, or an insurance underwriter, because you're not going to understand what either one of them said. The little girl on TV broke the story, didn't she? Did you find out on page 5? Did you read? Did it say you're covered? No, it said blah, 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 blah. And that's what philosophy teachers do. see. And the man who's teaching, who was teaching, lost, admittedly, unsaved, doesn't know Scripture. He's read it. But the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14, let me see, I always got that in the back to show idiots. I'm not showing you that from here. But when people want to talk about it, 1 Corinthians 2:14 will let you know the unsaved cannot understand this book. They can read it all they want as literature, but they cannot understand the spiritual information because God has blocked it. Oh, well, you not know, same thing with the Jews. Bless the Jews. We're told to love the Jews, to try to convert the Jews. And our religion came from a Jew. But God has put a veil over their eyes, and they can't see the truth. Most are highly intelligent. If you will care to look at the Fortune 500 businesses in America, the big boys, and you get to the top, you'll find a Jew. Because when they get after something, they get after it. They'll take their young people and they'll put you in business. What do you want to do, Freddie? Let us know when you want to do something. I want to run a clothing store. Fine. They'll give him the money, give him the training, and he's to run the clothing store. It fails. Freddie, that's one. So they do it again. Freddie, that's two. He fails again. They say, no more help. But when they teach you, they mean you to learn and to do what their teaching says. That's good. I used to live in Charlotte. And laid in a nice home across the street there was a Jewish family. Had the cutest little boy. And he was five or six, whatever. And he wanted to open up lemonade stand. And you know, nobody comes down the street, two or three people a day. And he's not, it's not, it ain't gonna happen, right? I'm gonna walk over and buy one, but it's gonna flop. And he put out a little card table, and his mama made the lemonade, and he had his little cups out there, and a little sign, 50 cents for lemonade. I knew he was Jewish when he put another sign, said 2 for 65. That ain't bad for a six-year-old. And he sat there and nobody came, and I felt so bad for him. So I walked over and said, got any lemonade? Yeah. I said, well, good, let me have a cup. And I talked to him. I said, well, you're doing real good, and this sure is good lemonade. Thank you. And went home. He sat there 3 or 4 hours and left the lemonade stand and went in the house where the air conditioning was. His mama grabbed him by the ear, kicked that door open, walked him out of that stand and said, sit down. Don't you ever leave your business again. At six, you reckon he's in business now doing pretty good? Absolutely. Why? She laid the law down and he learned to follow it. You see, that's what Jesus did to us, but we didn't follow it. Church in most areas has become, let's hear a speech by the preacher and for an hour, and they'll smile and we'll tell him he did good and then we'll leave. That's what church has become. That's not what church is. Church is the preaching of the Word of God, and nobody cares whether you like it or not. It's not a social function. It's laying down the rules to get to heaven. And Jesus has given us one here. Don't call yourself my disciple. Don't call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, if you do not continue in my word. Don't get disinterested because the choir was good. Get interested in what's said here and what he said. You see, we hope and I pray before I preach every Sunday. Don't let anybody hear me. Lord, let them hear you. Because I can say something and you'll take it entirely different. We've had several leave because of that. They thought I was mad at them personally. I'm mad at anybody personally. I can lead you to the one who sets you free. Don't worry about my weight, color of my hair, how old I am, what friends I have. None of that's your business anyway. Just like at your house, it's your business. But we tend, and the world tends, to classify Christians on whether they go to church or not. We've had some people here, and I happened to run off, as Ann said, and got the word back. I know where they're going, and I don't care where they go, except it's sad. They're going to a church that doesn't believe in the return of Christ, doesn't believe in the rapture. Now, I study that quite a bit, and we are called pre-tribulation rapture people. We believe the Lord's going to come for the dead in Christ and the living in Christ, take us to heaven, then the tribulation starts. And there are arguments on that, highfalutin theologians beating each other up over that. But when you find out what's going on, you finally get indignant like I've gotten. I'm 80. Leave me alone. Okay. And somebody will say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. I said, fine. And you call yourself a Christian. And many Christians don't. They need to. I said, but let me help you. I'm not going to sit here and argue 3 days with you. When Jesus comes for the dead in Christ and the living in Christ to take us to heaven, tell him you don't want to go. That'll solve it. Don't tell me. Tell him. I'm not coming for you. He is. And then we stay there 7 years and come back after the tribulation period. How any man in the world could read the book of Revelation and even want to go to the tribulation, I don't know. Not many are going to live through that in the entire world. Or the Bible's a lie, and it isn't, it's the truth. So they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, they're lying through their teeth now. They forgot about the 400 years they were slaves in Egypt. You weren't in bondage. When you were making bricks with no straw, getting beaten if you did things wrong, the pyramids weren't built by the Egyptians. The instructions to build the pyramids were given by the Egyptians. The Jews did the work. Now they were enslaved and then they were set free. And this is what Jesus is talking about. We'll set you free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, meaning truthfully, truthfully, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now we're talking about being a slave. A slave was a servant. And he calls you and I, because of our sin, and we won't give it up, a servant of sin. He's calling you a slave because it has you bound. Now back then, slaves weren't like the folks who were unjustly brought to America and put on farms and all that, and you know the history of that. That wasn't right. But back then, you could volunteer to be a slave. You could volunteer to be a teacher, and you could teach the children of that family, and they didn't have to worry about that. Volunteer to cook, volunteer to do whatever. And they would make you a slave of that family. You were a servant of that family. So Jesus has said, wait a minute, son. You don't have to go to that length to be called a servant. If you sin, you are, thank you, Larry, you are a servant of sin. And that's what we all are. Most people have a favorite sin. And I knew of a church up near Sumter out in the country. And they used to have a terrible time with the young teenage girls getting pregnant.
And there was an abnormal none of them. There was a lot of them who were getting pregnant. And the church didn't know what to do about it. And somebody asked the preacher, said, Reverend, I notice that y'all don't call the girls to the front of the church anymore and church them. See, they used to bring you to the front of the congregation. And they would put you out of the congregation for stuff like that. You were gone. You could either straighten up or get away from them. They didn't want you around, see. So the preacher said, well, to tell you the truth, it got to happening so much, we don't count that anymore. Well, it's not up to you to count it. God will decide what sin is. And the problem with you and me and everybody else you see is we as a nation don't believe in sin anymore. You can watch your TV set and watch sin all day. And nobody will call it sin. Okay. The movies used to go as far as they called it to the bedroom door. And Rita Hayworth or whoever and some guy would go behind the door, and that's all you saw was the door shut. Now the movie starts with them coming in the bedroom door, right? And we know, and surveys have been taken, 60% of the preachers in the United States of America watch pornography. All of 60%. Spend a couple hours a day watching pornography. Well, why do they do that? Are they not saved? Some of them are. They're saved, but they are bound by that sin. You see, sin will bind you before you know it. You don't even know you're caught. And it's like you can take a spool of thread. You ladies still have sewing machine, do you? When I was brought up, every lady had a sewing machine. My mama could make, she'd go by Belk's window and look at a lady's suit, go in there and spend a dime for the pattern, buy 3 or 4 yards of cloth, and she'd have that thing in 3 days. It looked just like the one in the window. And most of the ladies did. That was a big thing, see. But you can take thread and pop it. You know, what's thread? Yeah. Anybody pop thread, but you put your hands together and wrap 3 rounds around there. It gets a little harder. Wrap 10. Wrap 100 and you ain't going anywhere. You can't turn it loose. Well, it's just thread. It was when it was one piece of thread, but not now. It has captured you now. You no longer own the thread. The thread owns you. Same things happen with drinking. We've accepted drinking to, you know, it's, that's what you do at the dinner table. Not in mine, but it, yeah. They said, well, why are you against it? I said, well, I had 2 grandfathers who ended up alcoholic drunks, and far as I know, both of them went to hell. That's why. I know that I am subject to, if I like something, I'll get after it. I mean, if I like golf, I'm sorry you can't play all day, you know, every day. And you have a secret that you like, and you just can't turn loose. And what happened, it was a sin thread that, well, one beer won't hurt you. It will if it gives you a taste to take another one. And another one, and another one. When we first started, we always knew 2 or 3 people were going to be at church because they were taped to the bar in there. They had stayed from Saturday night. They weren't going to put it down. They didn't care who said to. You better find out what the Bible says about that. And once you find out, you better follow it, whether you like it or not. Jesus never said, now if you like this, do it, and if you don't, it's all right. You won't find that in the Bible. Let's see. Of the 10 commandments, there's 2 or 3 I wish you'd vote on and do away with. I mean, they were fun when I broke them, and you did too.
And we get bound by sin. And this is what Jesus is telling a bunch of Jews. You see, they think they're religious because they go to synagogue and go through the rituals and go through all that. Then he came to town and said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. They accused him of being an illegitimate child. They did everything they could to stop his ministry. I mean, can you imagine being the only one in the world that preached the gospel? You got a pretty big task there, haven't you? Everybody hates you. When Jesus was crucified, people there made fun of him. They'd cut off a donkey's head that was sick or dying, and they'd nail it to a cross and put it up on Main Street, indicating Jesus was a jackass for letting people kill him for just preaching what he thought. And Christianity has been persecuted since it started. But if you'll notice, the church grew better under persecution than it did under laziness and non-belief. Oh, we have churches with 15,000 people, and they got Led Zeppelin in his band and all this other, and you have to ask to find out if you're in the church or at Fat Harold's. If you ask to ask, you're in trouble. I know of a church. Big church, a couple thousand people. I mean, it's looking smooth. Six preachers, the senior minister, you know, and the junior minister, and the vice minister, and the minister of music, and the minister, blah, 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 blah. And a guy went and heard the message, and the preacher preached a nice sermon, and he learned about Jesus, and the Lord touched him, and he wanted to be saved. He said, I need to be part of this. This is wonderful. So he goes and stops the first minister he can find, six of them, and said, look, I'm new here, and I didn't know all about this, and I want to be a Christian. I want to find out how to do that. He said, I'm sorry, that's not my department. You need to see so-and-so. Are you kidding me? Try that at Bob Jones University. Well, you and I know, don't we? You go to Bob Jones University, the guy cutting the grass, if you speak to him, he'll say, hello, welcome. First time here, is it? Yeah, born again, are you? I mean, it's the first thing they're going to tell you. Then he'll whip a New Testament out of his blue jeans back pocket and proceed to give you the way to be saved. That's the way it ought to be with every Christian. Well, I'll lose all my friends. Then you have bad friends. I remember telling my daddy one time, we were ran into hard times, and I was foolish. And I said, nobody likes me, and we don't live like the other people, and don't have any money in my life. You know how kids do. And he said, well, what's bothering you? He said, well, my friends ridiculed me about it, and he said, you don't have any friends then, do you? He said, get you some friends that are saved, son. They don't care who you are, where you live, how much money you have. They're just glad to be in fellowship with somebody that loves the Lord like they do. And the older I get, the truer that is. And he said, when you die, you'll be very fortunate if you can name five people who will truly stick with you, depend whatever you do, that five that you could really call a friend, and a friend who will still love you even though he knows all about you. All right. And that's what the church needs to do, and not always jumping around falsifying happiness and never speaking a word on behalf of the Savior. It's a shame that you have to ask anybody if they're saved. You ought to know by the way they act. We are what? Light of the world. So the Jews are cussing him. We weren't in bondage to any man. Excuse me, you were in Egypt for 400 years. How come you say we'll be made free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever, forever. You're not free just because you have a higher ranking as a slave. That still doesn't make you free. I know people who have millions of dollars, which is the God of America, and they are so bound up with sin, they don't know what to do. You know some, and you pity them. You might not have the money they have. I don't have the money they have. I tell people I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich was more convenient. Wasn't necessarily better. Better was having nothing with Jesus than having everything with anybody else. And the world doesn't like that. They don't want to hear that. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son, speaking of Jesus, can set you free of sin. Isn't that wonderful? I think about it daily. I'll pray about it. Lord, how wonderful. I have a habit of coming out my front door there at a condo, and you know, you're on a little patio and on the second floor there, and I stop a minute and pray for a good day and thank the Lord for his creation and look out and say I want to plead the blood on my family and friends and fellowship and pray that we can serve you and be obedient to you today, Lord. I'm free. I've had bigger houses on my own. I lived at Jekyll Island, Georgia. If you live at Jekyll Island, Georgia, you better carry some money with you. I had a house that you could punt footballs in. Right? Anything you wanted. Now let's see. Will I play tennis or golf today? Well, which Mercedes will I drive today? Being ugly, to one of my friends, he said, Beaver, let me borrow that diesel. And he said, do you ever let anybody drive it? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to let you drive it. Here's the keys, drive it and bring it back. And by the way, be careful, I ain't got but one more. Just teasing, having fun with him, but it was true. But it sure wasn't fun inside. Because many years before that, I said, boy, you need to be a preacher. You need to preach the gospel. If you think you're going to ride in on your daddy's reputation, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Did you know God was Southern? He talks to me in Southern. Come here, boy. Sit down, shut up, and listen. Did you really hear that? In a spiritual way, I hear that. Because when he's through, somebody cut the waterworks on in my head and I'm crying. And I want to have a pity party and want to say, woe is me. And I mentioned it last Sunday. I said, I didn't know how wealthy I was till the other day. I took a shower, looked around the restroom at home and the bathroom. I said, boy, am I wealthy. I got running water in here, hot and cold. I can stay in here till it runs out, and it'll automatically get hot again for me. All right. I have a bathroom you don't have to walk to. There it is. I have a way to shave and look as beautiful as I am because I can plug something in the wall and it'll do the shaving for me. I said, this is ridiculous. I didn't know how. Somebody call Wall Street and tell them who's rich.
I saw Donald Trump's apartment the other day. You may have seen that. And he's earned his money, and he's welcome to it. And his beautiful wife was showing people, one of the news people, around their apartment at Trump Tower. Of course, it covers the floor, and everything in there is covered in gold. The table chairs. So I said, that's the coldest looking place I ever saw. I wouldn't feel comfortable there. You're scared you're going to break something. You're scared you're going to do something wrong. See, you know, and I laughed and said, one time a burglar broke in on me and Ann on Monday night, and we were gone, and he broke in, and we were sad about that. And at Tuesday, he came back and brought us some stuff. I mean, poor is one thing, but I've been ridiculous, and I'm sure you may have been there before. Okay. But God said, if you'll hear my word and you will continue in my word, everything will be all right. The funeral I held the other day, I was talking about, and the people didn't understand. And at the end, I found out what was wrong. They all went up to touch the casket. And that's what they do. They were all from Maine and Connecticut and all that. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just the way it was. And I didn't know beforehand that they were all Catholic until they were up there genuflexing. I said, uh-oh, I've been preaching the Baptist gospel to a bunch of Catholics. No wonder they look bored. They weren't used to hearing that. They didn't want to hear that. This won't get you out of the grave. This will. That won't rise you up, sprinkling with the water, the holy water. We had a friend played basketball in college with him. I said, Marty, why, when you shoot a foul shot, he was from New York, terrific ball player. I said, I notice you always do this. Why do you do that? He said, well, I'm Catholic. I said, I know, that's good. But what, do you say anything? He said, I don't know what the rest of them say, but I say, Hail Mary, full of grace, help me put it through the lace. I said, well, I guess that work as good as anything else they say. The only thing you say that matters is I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I need a Savior, and now I've found Him. And that's the only thing that matters that you'll ever say. Nothing else matters a whole lot. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad they can give you a whole life summary in a 5-inch column in the newspaper? Isn't that sad? I mean, everything you went through and did summed up. Mary Johnson died today, blah, 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 blah. She was in the whatever, whatever. And head of the garden club for 10 years and won first place at the pickle contest, and now she's gone. I said, how sad we are. How sad we are that people don't look at us and say, man, that's a Christian. So how do you know? Look at him smile. Look at his attitude. Watch what he does. See how happy he is. He doesn't need your cocaine. He doesn't need your alcohol. He will shun that. Why? Because it will dull his senses. Let me help you just a minute. The drunks think that's funny. Yeah, I drank 472 Budweisers over the summer. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll give you a can at the end of the summer. They think that's cute. Man, I was falling down drunk at Harold's the other night, and that's a goal, was it? That's what you want to be known as, is it? But you see, if you get enough of them together, it's all right. Okay. Thieves get along good if you can keep them all together because they're all alike. They're so busy watching each other because they'll steal from themselves. So the Jews are hot about this. I mean, you got to understand this is real life. We weren't in bondage. What do you mean we commit sin? And Jesus tells them, if the Son makes you free, you won't have to sin.
you'll be free indeed. He said, wait a minute, preacher. I know some good preachers and Christians and preachers who still fell off the boat there and sin now and then. Well, I'm glad you do, because you know me and I do. But I got bad news for your analogy. Jesus said he washed all my sins away. He said, my sins have been put at the bottom of the sea, never to be drug up again. Never can be held against me by anyone at anywhere. Well, that's a license to sin. No, it isn't. If you take advantage of the privilege of being saved, you probably aren't saved. That's the real problem. We had Frank, my friend back there, brought somebody to church, and I was so thankful that he did, I ran him off before we started. I didn't mean to. Well, Frank said, this man, we brought him to church today, well-dressed, obviously well-to-do man, and a high IQ. I want to find out what's going on. Frank had told him they were nice people and all that. And so he come there and tells me, of all people in the world, I don't need to be saved. I hadn't done anything to be saved from. Excuse me? You sinned 20 times getting here, probably. First thing you did, you went too fast in your car. Did you know that's a sin? You broke the law. You saw the sign. I love it when people blow the horn behind me and I'm going the speed limit. I just point to the sign. And slow down quite a bit. The more the blow, the slower I go. That's my motto. See? But that's a sin. We all do it, don't we? But the blood of Christ that washed away my sin did it forever. Sin's present, sin's past, sin's to be. Not a license to sin. It's a license to be godly. All right? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. We're part of Christ. We're the body of Christ when we accept Him as Savior. God the Father looks at us as He does God the Son. Get on that mountain. So do you mind explaining that? Not at all. Anytime the devil accuses me before God, and he does, he has the right to do that, and he accuses you, isn't that one of yours? God said, yeah, he's mine. Said, well, did you see him, what he just did? He said, he's none. Well, I guess I saw him, and I'm standing here with you. You had to see him. He said, I saw nothing but the blood of my Son covering him. What sins are you talking about? There's an old gospel song, which I love the old gospel songs. They're full of doctrine. And the kids at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Sightler's Church in Greenville, used to sing a song that the words in it, was a man was sorry about his sins and he was saved. And he was still having a struggle like we all do. And finally he died and went to be with God. And he said, once again, I want to tell you, Jesus, I want to tell you I'm sorry for the times I and these. And Jesus said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. What a wonderful thing to know that if Jesus has anything wrong, it's his memory. The memory of the wickedness I was and you were. But all that's gone. And if you can't get happy and joyous over knowing you're free, spiritually free, I don't know what'll make you happy. And they said, look, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, I know that. I know you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. America,
Somebody said, atheist said, well, where was God when they killed those little children at the school, a few years back? Where was your God? Why didn't he do something about it? Why didn't he go in there and stop that? And the guy he was talking to said, I'm sorry, God isn't allowed in our school anymore. And you wonder why you got trouble? Because the cute little kids are godless, lost pagans until they find Christ. Little 6-year-old Michaela, my little grandbaby, just love her to death. She came home from Calvary Baptist School the other day, and Scott brought her up to see me and Ann. And I said, you have a good day at school, baby? She said, uh-huh. I said, well, good. And Scott told her, he said, honey, tell them what you did at school today. And she said, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. 6. I said, well, do you really know? No, she didn't know what sin was. Did she really understand the doctrine of salvation? Not at all. Just should have said anything you'd have taught her to say. But by knowing that and being brought up in that, when it comes time for her to really understand what sin is and that there is a Savior, she'll have no trouble at all accepting him in her heart to wash her clean. None at all. And if she dies before then, she'll go to heaven. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, Jesus said, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road, right? He's saying, look, I'm serving God. You serve the devil. My Father is God the Father. Your father is Satan. And the things we see on TV and the stuff we hear and know that's going on, it's not funny. It's not being hip. It's not being in the in crowd. It's being one who admits that the devil is his daddy and wants nothing to do with Christ. So that's a little harsh, isn't it? You know, wait till you stand before the judgment seat. So we find out that only Jesus can make you free. They answered and said unto him, they were children of Abraham, and he said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that's told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And this did not Abraham. Abraham heard of God, he followed him and spread God's word. Along came Paul and got converted because he got knocked off his jackass and landed on the dirt road and went blind for 3 days. So, and the problem with America today is we're on the slippery slope of totally rejecting Christianity. And you'll run into it. Just hold your ground. Continue in the Word. When you have a problem, go here. What'd God say about it? Have a decision to make, go here. See what he said about it. And you'll find, too, that indeed, not audibly, God will talk to you. But he'll talk to you through this book. He'll talk to you through your preacher. He'll talk to you through Christian friends. He's already said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And in the Greek language, that word never, in the English, it translates 5 times the weight of the Greek. So what Jesus has said, once you're saved, is I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. If you don't know him today, you make that decision where you sit. You don't have to come here. We don't have the video anymore. We're trying to get it back. Pray for the people who took it down, because there's a verse in the Bible that scares me to death. And a lost man ought to shiver when he hears it. It simply says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But ours is a happy one. And ours is happy with us, for we have chosen to follow him. If you haven't done that, you do that where you sit as we pray and sing. Thank you for coming today. Come back if you will. Bring people with you. And let's see if we can't continue to do our part to keep people from going to hell. For without a doubt in this world, in my mind, Jesus is coming soon. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you've been to us. We used to sing a little song in the tent of my daddy, and us kids would sing it, that if I had all eternity, I could never, never tell you what he's done for me. You died for us. You've done away with death for us. You've paid for our sin for us. You've forgiven us. You've adopted us into your family. And you have given us eternal life. Please be with anyone here who doesn't know you, that today may be the day they change from just a physical life to an eternal one by accepting you as Savior. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Victories, God. sinner.